Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, scripture reading for this morning hour can be found in the 12th chapter of the book of Acts, the first 11 verses. Acts chapter 12, verses 1 through 11. Let us first sing from Psalter 53, stanzas 1 through 5. The Lord's my shepherd, I'll not want. He makes me down to lie in pastures green. He leadeth me the quiet waters by. 1 through 5 of Psalter 53.
Before scripture reading, we will read the law of God. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Acts chapter 12, beginning with verse 1 to 11. Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church. And he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to 4 quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between 2 soldiers, bound with 2 chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison. And he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, Arise up quickly. And his chains fell off from his hands. And the angel said unto him, Gird thyself and bind on thy sandals. And so he did. And he saith unto him, Cast thy garment about thee and follow me. And he went out and followed him, and wist not that it was true which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. When they were past the first and the second ward, they came unto the iron gate that leadeth unto the city, which opened to them of his own accord. And they went out and passed on through 1 street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, Now I know of a surety that the Lord hath sent his angel, and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod, and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. Thus far.
We hope to remember in prayer this morning Reverend Bazin, who was brought to the hospital last night with pneumonia. Our grandson, Martin Janssen, who was brought to the Lethbridge Hospital also last night with a possible infection behind his eye. Also, Mrs. Harry DePuter, who remains in the hospital. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty and long-suffering God, who yet bearest with us, that we may receive still a little time upon the face of this earth, even though our life that is not right in thy sight. For thou seest not only our actions and hearest our words, but thou knowest the inmost secret thoughts of our hearts. And when thou lookest upon the face of this earth and upon all that thou hast created, then we can read in thy word that thou didst find none that doeth good. No, not one. And then each and every one of us is thereby included in that fallen race that cannot and from our side will never be able to bring forth one good thing. And we have a religion. Thou givest it unto us, that we and our children may be brought up under thy word of truth, that we may be baptized. But we can read in thy word also of those who had much religion, but they had not the least particle of truth in their hearts. O Lord, thou knowest us also. Who can put his hand into his own bosom and take it out clean? From our side, there is nothing that we can bring before thee that is clean in thy sight. O our only hope and our only expectation, that lies in thee alone. O, we beseech thee then, when it is again thy day, when we are spared through another week, when we are given a little health and strength in this morning hour, when we are given at least the form that we come unto thy house, O, then we beseech thee, in this morning that thou wouldst look down from heaven, thy dwelling place, upon us and upon our children in thy mercy. Oh, that thou wouldst speak one word in this morning hour. Could it be to one who is come up to thy house, that is living day by day in the midst of this world in a way of sin, and that has no desire perhaps even to be here in this morning hour, but has been brought for other reasons. O, then thou art able to speak and to stop us upon our mad career. O, then it can be that we are coming week by week with an outward desire, that we have outwardly a prayer, that we have outwardly a word to speak, perhaps. O Lord, thou knowest everything. But O, that thou would stop us then in our religion. O, that thou may bring it all to nothing. Because from our own side it is all hypocrisy. From our own side it is all Phariseeism. Lord, then a man stands naked and open before thee, with whom he has to do, when he is brought by thy Spirit before thy judgment seat. And then he becomes from the crown of the head to the sole of the foot, only wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. And then he has to say that all, even of his righteousnesses, they are as filthy rags. O Lord, who but thee is able to open our poor blind eyes and give us to see who and what we are as we have been born in this world, as we have come forth from our father Adam, who has lifted up himself in rebellion against thee, who has desired to be a God unto himself, to say himself what is good and bad, what is right and what is wrong. Lord, except that thou hadst spoken, and except that thou hadst promised to send thine only begotten Son to bruise that head of the serpent. Men, we and our children have been lost, lost, lost forever and forever. Oh, but now thou hast proclaimed unto us that there is a way in thine only begotten Son. Oh, it is such a sovereign way. It is a one-sided work that all comes from thee. But then thy people may be so glad with it, when they may see what they are and remain in themselves, and that there remains no good thing, but they have to say with thy servant of old, O wretched man that I am. Oh, then they are looking for him who has begun that good work, also to bring it to an end. Oh, then they are looking for him that has begun, also to finish it. Lord, wilt thou look then upon thy church? O thou knowest where each and every one of them are, when they are not able to bring forth anything, though they may confess that they are no strangers of the leadings of thy Holy Spirit, that thou hast laid them so low, where it has become so impossible in their life. But where thou hast also opened unto them a way, thine only begotten Son, but now to live that life that is due unto thee, then from their side it is so impossible. Lord, thou knowest that it is a warfare. It is a church militant here below. And that church, they are in themselves so weak against all the devices of the enemy. Oh, that thou may remember them, and that thou may help them, teaching their hands to war and their fingers to fight. Oh, give them a place continually upon their knees, that they may experience even with David of old, that Goliath may be brought to the ground, but with a sling and a stone, and when it may be in the name of the Lord his God. Oh, that thou mayst so remember thy church, glorify thy name in their hearts more and more. And then man must more and more see his own wretchedness and his own sinfulness, and that he may see more and more thy own goodness and thy greatness, thy long suffering. Oh, that in the end they may say that it is by thee alone. O Lord, remember us all together, young and old, because we travel to a great eternity, and our time that is so very short here in this life. Oh, we can see it all about us, so much sickness, and so many callings coming unto us day by day. Set thine house in order, for thou shalt surely die and not live. Remember thou all the afflicted and the sick ones. We remember in a special way thy servant who was brought to the hospital last night. Lord, thou knowest the affliction of his body. Thou hast given him much strength in his life. And now he has also to experience some weakness. Oh, that thou may be near and dear unto him, even in thy even in the hospital in this thy holy day, that thou may visit him there with a visit from above. When he is not able to bring thy word in the midst of his flock, and that there may be much prayer of thy church unto God for him, that he also may be raised up again, and that he may go in and out among his people. Wilt thou increase the number of thy truly sent servants? Wilt thou grant that knowledge of thee to be born in the hearts of men? And wilt thou call with that irresistible and effectual calling, and not only to that new life, but may it also be to that new work, that men may be sent forth into the midst of this world, to call men out of darkness into thy marvelous light. Remember our grandson also. Lord, thou knowest all of his needs. Wilt thou heal him in his body, in his young life already laying in the hospital? Wilt thou give that also this calling may be sanctified to parents, to family, for the callings they are increasing? Lord, that thou may show to us our ways. And wilt thou give us truly to turn from all our vanity, to seek the true and the living God? Her that remains in the hospital, thou knowest all her condition. Could it please thee to strengthen her further, and to give what is necessary that she may be raised up once again, for her husband, for her family, and that thou may visit there in the hospital in this day? Be with all that are not able to be with us. Thou knowest where that they are, in their houses, in the nursing home, in all places whither thou hast driven them. May thou be unto them a little sanctuary this day. And wilt thou comfort all those that mourn? Remember others that are in the hospital from the other congregations. A child. Others that have received callings, serious callings. Lord, they are coming more and more. Oh, could it please thee to stop us then? Oh, could it please thee to raise us up, and that we may not put aside the many warnings which are coming unto us? Wilt thou remember our nation, our people, our government, our rulers, and all also those that run for office? Lord, wilt thou cause men to be placed in our governments that may rule according to thy holy word? For thou knowest how far that we have departed from thee. Oh, turn us again, Lord. And wilt thou cause our cry to be lifted up, and that it may enter into the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth, that thou may give unto us a turning again in this land which has far departed from thy word of truth, so that all kinds of iniquity and sin have become legal and are walked in without rebuke. Oh, could it please thee to put men upon the judgment seats that may judge according to thy holy word? Then from our side it seems so impossible, because Satan is so strong. And then from our side, that enemy that is so multiplied, Lord, then from our side it is there is no hope. Then we are so far gone. But could it please thee, in whose hands is all power given, as thou sittest on the right hand of glory, and who art able to but speak the word, and it comes to pass? Oh, we beseech thee then to do wonders, and that are far exceeding above all our thought. Wilt thou look then upon all this world? There is to be no peace here below, except that peace that is to be given in and through thine only begotten Son.
Oh, that thou mayest spread thy word over a land and nation, and that thou mayest bring it to the furthest quarters of this world, and that thou mayest raise up also among the heathen that may serve and that may love thee. But forget not us here as this church. Oh, Lord, forget not us when we have been brought up under thy truth. And when we take so many things for granted, then it is so dangerous that we walk in the midst of this world without a care. For thou knowest that we make ourselves ripe for hell, even with all the blessings that are poured out upon us. Then we will have there the lowest place. Then we will receive there the greatest stripes. But, O, take thou us by heart and by hand, and that all the vanity of this world may no longer draw us, and that our hearts may be snatched by thee as a brand that is plucked from the burning. O, look upon our children and upon our youth, and when Satan does draw them, and when he seeks to devour as a devouring lion, but also is coming as an angel of light. O, cause then thy word in this day to be sanctified and to be blessed. O, come thou in the midst of us. Lord, to whom else can we go? And thou alone hast the words of eternal life, and thou can but speak in this morning hour. O, help us to bring thy word. Thou knowest our weakness, and wilt thou give us a little strength in this hour? Wilt thou give us a little freedom? And wilt thou give us a little liberty? And may it be, speak thou a word, and that a man may go out of this place different than he has come in, and that thy word may bring forth fruit and for that great eternity. For Jesus' sake, amen.
While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 207, all stanzas. God is known among his people. Every mouth his praises fill. From of old he hath established his abode on Zion's hill. And there he broke the sword and arrow, bade the noise of war be still. We announced at the mill members meeting in this past week, Mr. James Kreft was chosen for the office of elder, which office he has accepted. Lawful objections to his installation must be brought to the attention of the consistory by Tuesday, July the 1st. And our last collection today is for the disaster fund. Psalter 207, all stanzas.
Thank you.
Congregation, the Apostle Paul has written to the church in Thessalonica, pray without ceasing. That is, as the Lord Jesus had said to his disciples, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. What is the purpose of prayer? That is not to inform the Lord of anything, because he needs not to be informed. Because the Lord says, before they call, I will answer. And while they are yet speaking, I will hear. But prayer, and that is a part of communion. Thus, the Lord will have communion with his people. Is that not a wonder? Were you ever sent to your room, boys and girls, because you have been naughty? And then your mother, your father, does not want to speak to you, does not want to hear from you. Was it ever a wonder when your father or your mother has come down to your room? Was it ever a wonder to you that they have come there to speak to you again because of what you have done? Is it ever a wonder to us that the Lord would speak to us as fallen sons and daughters of Adam? How does the Lord speak to his people? That is, through his word. It is by his Holy Spirit in the application of his word. But the Lord is also giving his people a place to speak to him. Because he says that they must let their supplications be made known unto God. That prayer we wish to consider something of with the Lord's help in this hour out of the words of our text. You can find it in the fifth verse of the portion we have read, Acts 12. Acts 12, verse 5. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. So far, the words of our text, unceasing prayer for Peter. First, the cause of this prayer, and second, the answer upon this prayer. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him, that is a praying church. That is also a wonder. Why? Because by nature we have no prayer. Because as a fallen son of Adam, then we are doing as Adam did by the instigation of the devil. And that was to lift himself up to be as God. And then he did not feel any need, nor did he desire dependence, but he wanted to be independent. The Lord he is and must be not only a prayer hearing and a prayer answering God, but the Lord he must be a prayer giving God. Otherwise, we do not pray. And how is it that the Lord is bringing men to bow their knees in this world and to supplicate unto him? Well, then the Lord is working a need. Do we have a need? Do we have a natural need for which we bow our knees? Do we have above all a spiritual need for which we need to supplicate unto the Lord? We read here, unceasing, an unceasing prayer. What is that? That means that it is extended, that it is prolonged, that it continues. That is also a wonder, because it can be, maybe young people, that you have one time or another decided that you are going to make a difference in your life, that you are going to change your life, that you are going to bow your knees, that you are going to pray. And what happened? Then it happened once, then it happened twice, maybe three times, and then it was all gone. And why? Because it was all from yourself, because there was no need, and thus it does not continue. Without ceasing, and that is not only in the extension of the time, but it is also in the extremity of the need, that need that is bearing down, that need is felt so keenly. Thus Jacob, he says that I will not let thee go except thou bless me. When was this prayer? We read now about that time. And what time was that? We can read it in the chapter that comes before. And there stood up one of them named Agabus, and signified by the Spirit that there should be great dearth throughout all the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. Thus there was in that time a very great dearth, and because there was a great dearth, there was also a great need. And the disciples, they recognized that need. Then the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea, which also they did, and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. So it seems that in Judea that need was felt in a very great way. Then it was a need not just for things that they could do without, but that was a need for basic provision. And that was a need for sustenance. That was a need for food. That was a need for drink. Those are needs that we, with our children, do not really know so very well. And yet, that is not the reason that we read that these disciples, this church, they are gathered together. Thus, it is not for the personal things, but it is for something else. It is for the church itself. Thus, there is a need that has overshadowed the very needs of the body, a need that has become greater than the need of this life. There was a need for the church itself, because we read in our text, Peter therefore was kept in prison. Herod had many things to do because he was the king. And as the king, then it was necessary for him to see to it that all of his subjects, they are receiving food and drink. Because that people, they are now in a common need. And now this Herod, when he has all this to do with, what do we find him concerned? Because in a common need, then sometimes we find that very enemies, they are, at least for a moment, reconciled to one another. They can be helping each other across the lines when there is that common need. But we read here something so different. We read now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church. Thus, that enmity of that kingdom of Satan, that is an enmity that is so cruel and that is so vehement that it is stopping for nothing. When there is need for food and for drink for his subjects, and then this king, being instigated by the prince of darkness himself, as he is sitting upon his throne, and then he is working for the destruction of the true church of God. And thus that church that is often experiencing one trial upon another. Herod, he has recently been made king of Judea by Claudius Caesar because he has been an instrument to help bring that kingdom to Claudius Caesar. And we find that Herod, similar to the former Herods, then he is doing everything that he can to align himself with that Jewish nation. Some people say that he even actually became a Jewish himself. That was a man whose family that had everything to do against God's church. when we think about Herod, the great, boys and girls, and what he has done that was his grandfather, then it was in his heart to destroy that seed, Christ. And then he stopped at nothing, even to brutally slay all the little children that were in Bethlehem. And then we can read of his uncle, Herod Antipas, that he is ascending unto the prison, that he may receive the head of John the Baptist, that he may give it unto Herodias. Thus this man also was of that family. And now we read here that he is stretching forth his hands to vex certain of the church, that he is beginning, as it were, to harass the church, even in that time of need. And we find here that he is now beginning to lay his hands upon the apostles themselves, and he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. That was the first of the apostles to be martyred. We know that deacon Stephen was martyred. And now James, he is taken also by Herod. That was prophesied. That was according to the word of Christ. He was one of the sons of thunder, James, the brother of John. You remember, children, what he had said. Those two men, they desired to sit one at the right hand and one at the left hand of the Lord Jesus. And they thought that they could drink of that same cup that Jesus drank of. And the Lord Jesus said to them, "You shall indeed drink of the cup that I shall drink of, and you shall be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with." And now we read that Herod killed James with the sword. This beheading with the sword, that was one of four executions that were done against the Jews by the Romans. And that beheading with the sword, that was considered by the Romans to be even worse than to behead a man with an axe. That was done even for deceit. That was not so bad for James, though, children, right? Because for James, though that is an awful thing to die in such a way, then for James it is good, because all of his trials and all of his tribulations, they are coming in one moment to an end. And then that eternal place with the Lord is for James in that moment completely secured. The others have to continue for a little time, some a little longer, some a little shorter. But you know what we read? They continue to preach. That is something. Would you do that? Continue to preach. But that is now the strength that the Lord is giving unto his apostles in that time of persecution. Showing himself as he that is faithful who hath called. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. It pleased the Jews, bloodthirsty. The Lord Jesus says that they had killed the prophets. And he had prophesied that they would kill the son of the owner of that vineyard himself, which they did. And now they are attempting to slay also his servants. Delivered, we read, unto four quarternions of soldiers, that is, four groups of four soldiers, so 16 soldiers, just like Peter was a very dangerous man. Four groups, probably one group at a time. Two of them children, they are chained right to Peter, and they are with him in the prison. And then there are another two, and they have to stand at the door, and they have to make sure that Peter was not going to escape. Why is that? Was that every criminal that had four quarternions of soldiers? No, but Peter. Why? Is Peter a man that was able to escape? Well, that has happened before. Herod knew of that. Then the high priest rose up, and all they that were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and were filled with indignation, and laid their hands on the apostles, and put them in the common prison. But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, "Go, stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life." Herod knew that. And what did Herod say? That will not happen again. Four quarternions of soldiers. But what does the Lord say? The Lord says, "He that sitteth in the heaven shall laugh. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision." What were those soldiers that were standing at the grave of the Lord Jesus Christ? When the angel of the Lord appeared, do you remember what it says there? It says there, they became as dead men. Oh, the delight of the ministering servants of the Lord to minister unto God's children when they are sitting there in the prison. But man, when he is left to himself, then he keeps going. He goes on and on in his continuance to fight against God. Think only of Pharaoh. When the Lord is speaking once, and then Pharaoh, he is trying again. Think of Judas. The warnings also were coming to him. But Judas was going on and on and on in his way. And so we can read that also of Herod, that he is receiving a warning when there was no explanation before of that escape of the disciples. And Herod, he will try it again. Oh, congregation, how is it with us? When we may feel how that we go against the way of the Lord, and how that we go on and on and on in our own way, then we can expect nothing but that hand of the Lord that will one day prove to be too strong for us. So we have the reason that that church is gathered. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison. What now is the intention of Herod? The intention of Herod, we read, that is intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. That is to abuse him. And that is to kill him. The church knew it. And the church believed that he would do it, that he dared to do it, against every speaking of his conscience, of the innocence of this man, because he killed James with the sword. And now what can that church do? What can they do? What do you think? Young people, children, what should they do? You say, let them storm the prison. Yeah. It will not work. There are 16 soldiers. They are taking care of him 24 hours through all the day and all the night. Then there is no way that they can storm that prison. What else can they do? Say, go to the judge. Yeah. Who is the judge? That is Herod. That is the man who has put him in prison. Then they cannot expect that Herod is going to be on their side. They cannot expect that Herod is going to have any sympathy for them and for Peter. They cannot expect, because of the life of that man, that Herod is going to do justice, that he is going to do judgment. What can they do? Oh, they feel their helplessness. They feel their powerlessness. We read of another people, and that felt so helpless. That was a people that were down in Egypt. And a king that was going to destroy that whole nation, all the little boys that had to be thrown in the river. Oh, how helpless they were. They tried even to go to that judge. They tried to go to that king. It only made it worse. There was no justice. There was no judgment. What do we read? Their cry came up to God. Their cry came up to God by reason of the bondage. Congregation, did your cry ever come up to God by reason of the bondage? That is the true church. That is where the Lord is bringing his own children. Naomi, she said, I went out full, and the Lord has brought me home again. That is the work of the Lord. And why the work of the Lord? Because there is no man that will pray to God. He is not only a prayer hearing. He is not only a prayer answering. But he must be also a prayer-giving God. What do we read in the life of Abraham? We read that his prayer came up to God. He says, Lord, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless. Childless. After so many years, with such an expectation to receive the promise, but it is coming all to naught. It is, congregation, so necessary that the Lord is leading his people in that way. Why? Because the Lord says, my strength that is made perfect in weakness, my strength that is glorified in weakness, my strength that is brought to its end, it receives its final glory, its final honor in weakness. For this child I prayed, the barren woman said, Hannah, and the Lord hath given to me the petition that I asked of him. The Lord gave it to me. Where is that acknowledgement coming out of? It is coming out of the pit. It is coming out of that impossibility. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church of God for him. In all their helplessness, in all their fear, their cry is that is coming up unto God for Peter, for the church, because he was a pillar in that church that is coming without ceasing, we read. That is, that it was a cry that is coming out of their gatherings, and then they are going home to their places. And when they are gathered in the midst of their families, oh, then that cry is coming up unto the Lord again. And when they are going to their beds, and when they are bowing their knees in their secret chamber, oh, and then that cry is coming once again into that ears of that Lord of Sabaoth, that need that is bound upon that people. As one man, as one church, as one heart, then they do not dare to desist. They do not dare to stop as long as Peter is still alive. That is what David said. While that child is still living, while there is still yet hope, is that also in our life? Is that for our nation? While we would say there is still yet hope for our nation, while everything is not yet destroyed, oh, how short we are we not, in lifting up our prayer, in lifting up our cry to God, in all our impossibility, in the weakness against all that great enemy, because Satan, he is the prince of this world. And we see that the enemy that is gathering strength, and then it is from our side so impossible. But where is this? Where this church is lifting up their cry unto God without ceasing. And then not only for our nation, but also for our churches, which are also fast departing in ways of worldliness, Satan drawing, bringing that world into our homes, into our hearts. And not only for our nation and not only for our churches, but also for ourselves. Oh, that need. And when we see the world coming fast to its close,
that the enemies, they are gathering, that Satan is loosed, and that we must be born again. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And what is the outcome? Let us sing. 188, 1 through 4. Make haste, O my God, to deliver, I pray. O Lord, to my rescue make haste. Let those who would harm me be filled with dismay, and in their own folly disgraced. 1 through 4 of 188.
congregation while that church is together and while that church is praying. Where is Peter? He is in the prison. And what is he doing? He is sleeping. And when Herod would have brought him forth, same night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. Thus the fears of the church, and they were greater at this moment than the fears of Peter. Then Peter, in that moment, was given such a privilege, because we read in God's word that so the Lord giveth his beloved sleep. And then Peter, in that moment, he is able to lay everything in the hands of God. That is everything for himself. What a privilege. And Peter is able in that moment to lay the whole church of God in the hands of the Lord. Then there is nothing that had to be upheld by Peter. But the Lord, he was the king, and he was the ruler, and he was the carer for his own church. That man, he is sleeping so peacefully that even the light of that angel does not awaken him. We read, and behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, "Arise up quickly." And his chains fell off from his hands, so that that light, that heavenly light of that angel that was not able to awaken Peter in his sleep, so that that angel has to smite Peter on the side, or that speaks about a rest, the blessed rest, the depth of that rest, and that Peter is given in these moments, that is amidst all his trials, that is amidst all his tribulations, all than it is that the Lord makes it so well with himself. And Peter could only expect one thing from Herod, and that this soon would be also his last night upon the earth. Was it always so with Peter? It was not always so. Because we can read of a time that he was so fearful. He was so fearful when he is brought into that house of Caiaphas. All then only by the speaking of a maid. And Peter is made to tremble. But what is the difference? Peter didn't belong there. Peter was warned not to go there. But Peter went there in his own strength. And when Peter went in his own strength, then Peter could not stand. And therefore, there that fear has overcome him, and he has fallen. But how different it is when the Lord is leading Peter, and when the Lord is bringing Peter into that prison, then the Lord is also giving to Peter everything that is necessary. And so that is for that whole church of God. That the servants of the Lord, what did he say to them? He said, "Take no thought beforehand what ye shall speak." Why? The Lord shall give it you in that hour, a word by the Spirit of the Lord, that all the enemies of the Lord, they shall not be able to gainsay nor resist. Oh, so it will be also for the church of God, for the people of the Lord. And when the Lord is bringing them in those places where it is necessary that he also is upholding them, and that he may hear the needy when they cry, and that he may save their soul when death draws nigh. We knew a man. Many years ago, we would say he died 1,000 times. So fearful was that man of death. And then came the last days, and then came the last hours. And do you know what that man said? He said, "Is this dying? Is this dying?" So the Lord is giving strength unto his people. And the angel said unto him, "Gird thyself and bind on thy sandals." And so he did. And he saith unto him, "Cast thy garment about thee and follow me." And he went out and followed him, and wist not that it was true, which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. When they were past the first and the second ward, they came unto the iron gate that leadeth unto the city, which opened to them of his own accord. And they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, "Now I know of a surety that the Lord hath sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews." Congregation, where did that deliverance come from? They came from above. That was not in the power of any human being here below. Herod, we read, he stretched forth his hands to vex the church. That was a fearful thing, because Solomon, he says, where the word of a king is, there is power. And when that power is against us, then we fear. But do you remember what Pharaoh's magicians, they said of that lice? They said, "This is the finger of God." Oh, what are Pharaoh's, what are Herod's hands compared to that finger of God? Peter was kept in prison, we read. There was a great power. He was chained. 4 quarternions of soldiers. They watch him day and night. Now our text that sets out a contrast. Do you know what it says? It says, Peter therefore was kept in prison, but. That is now the contrast that Luke is setting out. And what is lying behind that but? Lying behind it is, but prayer was made. But prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. There's the warfare. There's the struggle between the prince of darkness and that church of God. It is the kingdom of God and the kingdom of Satan. And how now does the church experience it to be for themselves in that warfare? They experience their own weakness. But what does James say, congregation, of prayer? He says, "The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." Why? Because those are given prayers. Those are the cries that are coming from the Lord Himself. That need which is wrought by the Lord Himself that He may deliver. Oh, when that cry of Israel came up unto God, then we read something. We read, and God heard their groanings. And God remembered His covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. And God looked upon the children of Israel. And God had respect unto them. Oh, it is because of that covenant. It is because of that almighty power of Him that is sitting on that right hand of God, that that prayer, that that supplication is become such a mighty weapon in the hand of that church. But it is wielded by a people who acknowledge their weakness. What did Jehoshaphat say? He says, we have no might against this great company that cometh against them. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. The enemy of that army of Cromwell is said to have feared nothing more than the prayers of that people. They feared their prayers. Of Augustine, then we read that a child of so many prayers and tears cannot go lost. But Monica, she was a helpless woman. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And so those chains fell off. And so those doors went open. And so the eyes of those guards, they are closed, or they are stunned, or and they may leave that prison. And so those gates, they are opening of themselves, nothing lacking. Because when the Lord will do the first thing which is so necessary, He will also do the last thing which is so necessary. That is now such a great comfort unto that church of God, who cannot begin that work and who cannot finish that work. But the psalmist, he says, the Lord, He will perfect that which concerneth me. Oh, sometimes that deliverance that is for that people such a great wonder, because we read that Peter, he cannot believe it. We read he thought that he saw a vision. He wished not that it was true. Say, had it not happened before? Certainly it had happened before. But how is that? It is in the distress of that church that what happened before that is not good for them now. Know that the power that is going out of it, and the Lord, He has to work through again. He has to work anew. He has to receive His honor anew. And therefore, the expectation of that people that always has to go into the grave, that has to die. Oh, the church knows where it needs to be brought, but they cannot bring themselves there because it is against their flesh, and they think the Lord cannot bring them there either. But it is not true. No, He can, and He will bring them there again because He is a surprising God. But He will bring them where? He will bring them on their knees. Congregation, did you ever come to the end of your own power? That is necessary. Because if we never come to the end of our own power, then we do not go on our knees. But the Lord, He says, He will be inquired of by the house of Israel to do it for them. Did you ever see a rich man begging? A rich man does not beg, because begging that belongs to a poor man. Oh, when that enemy is too strong, then a man, he is driven on his knees. Oh, did Satan, did this world, did temptation ever become too strong for you? Did sin ever become too strong for you that it has driven you upon your knees? That there was nothing left anymore to do for you but to pray in your helplessness, in your powerlessness against all of your enemies? That is the people that will experience the power of that weapon. What did David say? This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. That is the way that the Lord is receiving all the honor and all the glory. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, strip us of our own power, of our own wisdom, of our own strength, of our own righteousness. Bring us on our knees. Cause us to cry in our helplessness, in our powerlessness, unto Thee, who art at the right hand of power. Receive Thou all the honor and all the glory, in a way which we will never give Thee, except Thou do it from Thy side against our flesh. O, look on us, forgiving what is amiss and sinful before Thee. Bring us safely to our homes with desire in Thy house in this afternoon. Help him that will go before us. Remember him that labors in Calgary also in this day. Be on his right and on his left with Thy blessing. For Jesus' sake, amen. 427, 2 and 3. Jehovah is my strength and tower. He is my happiness and song. He saved me in the trying hour. Hence shall my mouth his praise prolong. 2 and 3 of 427. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.